It's been said, making small adjustments to your daily routine can make a big difference in your life as a whole. Today, I'm going to make a few recommendations how you can make some small adjustments in your life when it comes to spiritual warfare. Hello, I'm Shelley Dizdar, and this is Light Along the Way, an internet radio program designed to shed some light on the everyday issues of your life. A couple of years ago, here in Northeast Ohio, a public service warning was issued to people living in my neighborhood that a wildcat of some kind, I don't remember exactly what, had been seen in the area. At that time, we were living in a home on 5 acres, and there was an additional 20-plus acres behind our property that was nothing but trees, the perfect haunt for a wild animal. Needless to say, we took precautions. The trash was taken to the curb before dark. Our small dog was not left outside unattended. The garage doors were kept shut. We looked outside before opening the door, and we made sure to keep updated as to whether or not the cat had been captured. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." Be alert. Be aware of your surroundings and the pending danger. Perhaps most of you think of home as a place where you can take your shoes off, eat breakfast, or even lunch in your nightgown, go without makeup or combing your hair, and dismiss certain public pleasantries, such as a smile, opening the door for another, and saying please and thank you. Be alert. In case you haven't already found this to be true, your home is one of the first places the enemy wants to destroy. His strategies may vary from house to house, but his plan is still the same. If you live alone, his plan may involve bitterness due to unforgiveness, fear, depression, sexual fantasy, and even fornication, as well as any number of other things. A line from one of Shakespeare's plays says, "To err is human, to forgive divine." Simply stated, it is human to make mistakes and godly to forgive them. Forgiveness is not saying something wasn't wrong. It's simply saying, I'm going to leave it up to God to decide what needs to be done about this matter. Colossians 3:13 tells us, "Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." Please note, I'm not encouraging anyone to remain in an abusive relationship. I am, however, encouraging you to release them to God and not hold on to the pain. An anecdote is told regarding a couple who went for marriage counseling. The husband told the counselor, "Every time we get into an argument, my wife gets hysterical." The counselor responded, "You mean your wife gets hysterical?" "No," replied the man. "She gets hysterical. She brings up everything I've ever done." If we truly forgive as God has forgiven us, we can't do that, no matter how tempted or how many things we remember. Psalm 91 is a great psalm for perspective regarding fear. Sometimes fear is due to past victimization, and help regarding the processing of that situation is needed. Scripture teaches us we're to fear God and not man. If we walk in respect and obedience to God, it'll help in our ability to trust God for protection and for blessing. Sexual fantasies can involve romance novels or movies, as well as pornography. Each of these can lead to the bondage of addiction, as well as destroy God's design for relationships Not too long ago, a survey showed that most girls lose their virginity in their own homes. It was believed the girls felt more safe and confident in their home, that it wouldn't happen to them, and therefore made poor judgments regarding being alone with someone of the opposite sex. This survey did not include issues of rape and incest, and non-consensual sex is never to be assumed as the victim's fault. Be alert. Being in an environment where others are drinking and using drugs, or simply where the morals and standards of others are not in keeping with God's plan, puts you at risk for the enemy's destruction. Remember this: bad company corrupts good character, and the enemy is just waiting for that opportunity. Back to issues regarding the home. If you're married, the number one issue is usually finances, with a close second being communication. This does not leave out the possibility or even probability of issues that were listed when someone lives alone. As a side note, alcohol and drugs often lead to acts of violence in the home, and many times someone is injured or even killed. Let's touch on finances for a minute. I realize that our present economy has put many families in jeopardy. It's a very difficult thing to lose your job, your home, and way of living that you've become accustomed to. However, credit card debt and unnecessary spending are major grounds for the enemy as well. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, it says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. A sound mind can also be translated as self-discipline. Impulse buying and thinking you need something just because someone else has it or you want it is not self-discipline. Give yourself a small weekly or monthly budget for your extras. I remember when extras meant junk food at the grocery store. I would use coupons for items we normally needed and use the savings to splurge on the junk food. When I was single, I would pack my lunch for work in order to have extra money for shopping and eating out with friends on the weekend. I also found by the time I saved up for a larger purchase, I often didn't want it after all. My husband and I have not used credit cards in almost 20 years. His car is 11 years old and mine is 10 years old. Neither car was new when we got them. I found thrift store and yard sale shopping a great way to save money and still have nice things. Because objects can be demonized, whether new or used, it's a good idea to pray regarding certain purchases and use discernment. I've also found it important to follow scripture and be obedient when it comes to giving. Plan your giving regardless of your need. You will be amazed how God can be faithful in providing for your actual needs and often your wants and desires. Giving is the only area where God says we are permitted to test Him. We are to give, and it will be given to us. God loves a cheerful giver, and He'll be generous to those who are generous to others. I never give anything in expectation of others giving back. I would much rather God bless me out of His abundance instead, and I never cease to be amazed at His generosity. I know what it's like to lose everything and have to trust God for my basic needs. I still don't want to eat another bowl of cornflakes or a bologna sandwich, and we still have to trust God for all of our needs. But as the psalmist David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread. Now for communication. I've seen many instances where people are nicer to strangers than they are to their own family members. Thoughts they wouldn't dare speak out loud to a stranger are often spoken in a way to purposefully cause pain to a family member. Common courtesies like please and thank you are omitted, and opportunities to assist one another are ignored. Even perhaps requests for assistance are ignored. Galatians 6:10 tells us, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them who are of the household of faith. As for the words that we speak, and believe me, ladies, it isn't important to say everything that comes to your mind. Keep these verses in mind and perhaps use them as a rule before you open your mouth. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Proverbs 15:4 says, the soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. Be alert. Luke 4:13 says, when the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. This is in regard to Satan's effort to tempt Jesus. You may have succeeded to resist temptation in the past, or even earlier in the day, but know that Satan is waiting for another opportunity. These opportunities often come when we're in a weakened state. It's so very important to be aware of how much sleep you need and the proper diet for your individual body. Use of drugs and alcohol to induce sleep are never a good idea and can only worsen your situation. Caffeine, sugar, failure to resist late night television, books, computers, or conversations, as well as worry, can affect your ability to get a good night's sleep on a regular basis. Plan a defensive sleep routine that works for you. Low serotonin and melatonin can also affect your ability to fall and stay asleep. I found a piece of toast with butter on it prior to going to bed produces an increase in serotonin and helps me fall asleep more quickly. Have your hormone levels checked to see if progesterone levels are low, and use of a topical progesterone cream could possibly help. Speaking of hormones, be alert as to your body's fluctuation of hormones and how it affects your ability to function. Planning stressful events around these fluctuations when possible, as well as special sleep and dietary needs during this time, can make all the difference in your vulnerability level. Simple things such as lower salt and caffeine intake during this time and getting to bed an extra hour earlier can prove helpful. Delay of making major decisions during this time can prove helpful as well. While our emotions are affected by our thoughts, our thoughts can be affected by our emotions too. Satan will always go for your mental and emotional triggers. Know what these are and recognize his schemes and plan to guard against them. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be alert and of sober mind. A sober mind is one that has the ability to think clearly Even with a good night's sleep and abstaining from drug and alcohol use, it's still important to determine what you'll allow your mind to dwell on. Genesis 6:5 says, "The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time." 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Which of those statements describe your thought life? I can remember in my much younger days how I struggled with this passage from Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. At that time, I particularly thought verse 8 was an unrealistic escape from reality. I've since realized that this particular passage of Scripture and obedience to it is a necessity in order to bring thankfulness and perspective into such a darkened world of hopelessness and pain. Perhaps you've heard the expression, "Stop and smell the roses before it's too late." Let me encourage you to take time every day to look around you and find something beautiful to dwell on. God's creation is full of beauty, whether in nature or a child's face, the glow of an elderly person who knows they will soon be with their God, a painting or a pastry, the sparkle of your wedding ring, or the sparkle in your loved one's eyes, architecture and design, and I'm sure you can add many more things to the list. I've only touched on a few things today as far as practical things you can do regarding spiritual warfare, but I want to leave you with this portion of Scripture from Ephesians chapter 4. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work. Do something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, and it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have given us not only instruction for how to live our daily life in victory over the enemy, over the world and the flesh, but you've enabled us by the power of your Holy Spirit that lives in us as your dearly loved children to be obedient. Father, I pray right now that each one of us will use your word as the grid that determines the decisions that we make. That we'll not compare ourselves one to another or to the world and the way they say and do things, but we will do things in according to your will, and by them we will be blessed. I pray right now, God, for those who have yet to make that decision to surrender their life to you and to live according to your will. I pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to draw them to you, and that they would not delay in saying yes to you. And no to sin, and no to self. Thank you, God, for the many times that you give us a second chance. May we be reminded when someone we know needs another chance. We praise you, Lord God, that regardless of how the world lives, that you have called us to a higher way of living, and you will help us in that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for joining me today. I look forward to writing a book with several of the practical things, as well as even self-defense methods and spiritual warfare tactics for women. I thank you for your prayer and for your support of our ministry. Continue to pray for us and support us as we work together for the glory of God until He comes again. Until next week, God bless you. Know that you are daily in our prayers. And if this word has helped you in some way, share it with someone. You never know who it might help. God bless.